change in the speaking order. I found out, was it Wednesday, that I had to work on Sunday. So I discussed it with Daniel, and we had two options, either to flip-flop or to cancel the evening service. And we agreed it's better that we exchange speaking engagements rather than cancel the evening service. So I appreciate your patience with the change of schedule. This morning, our text will come from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39 through 11:3. I will be reading from the ESV. Is also the translation of the Pew Bible. And I have entitled the message today, "What is Enduring Faith?" We'll answer that question. Reading from the ESV, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By it, people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand the universe was created by the word of God. So what is seen was made out of what things that, what is seen is made out of things that are visible." Take a moment and pray here. Almighty, most holy, everlasting, triune God in heaven, tender-hearted ruler over all that we see and do not see, please give us understanding to our minds, convictions to our soul, and sight to the eyes of our heart as we consider the words of your covenant to your redeemed family this morning. We offer our prayer to you in the name of the Son, our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. In my nearly four decades as a Christian, I became a Christian when I was 18. So if you want to do the word story problem, you can figure out how old I am. But we've come here to listen to God's word, not do mathematics. So I've noticed that a mythology of sorts has grown up around the meaning of faith. Everyone seems to have sort of their own definition of what faith is. Some of what I've heard over the years is, if you just believe hard enough, God will answer your prayers. I don't know if any of you have ever encountered that you just have to close your eyes and read the Bible enough and believe hard enough and God will answer your prayers. Or that through faith, God will give you the longings of your heart. So if you desire something and you believe hard enough, then somehow God is obligated to make that come true for you or to answer your faith. Another one is, only if I had the faith and fill in the blank of a famous Christian, I would have a better life or I could do more for God. Still others tend to think of faith as an akin to an emergency savings fund. And some of us may have that where we keep a few hundred dollars in a squirrel hole around our house that's only spent when the car breaks down or we need to buy a new refrigerator or we have to make an emergency trip out of town. Some people will view faith as that's something we reserve only for a crisis, and then we bring it out and hope that God still remembers us. Still others, and I would not include them as a Christian, but as heretics, they believe that faith is a force, like electricity, and all one has to do is to be able to harness that the energy of or the force of faith, much like we harness electricity. I would say about those people, they are heretics, and they're living in the Star Wars universe. However, we here live in this present reality created by God, not in a mythical universe. And while elements of these thoughts and ideologies may be true, the Bible gives us a very different definition of faith. Faith is enduring reliance on God, on what God has already promised to us. In our passage this morning, the author is acknowledging his audience's continuing reliance on God during trying times, in which some, which includes some of the congregation having been imprisoned and others having had their property confiscated. They suffered through these tribulations while patiently waiting for the return of Christ. Faith for us is an enduring confidence in God by looking at those who have endured without ever receiving the promise of God. The author defines for us the triad nature of faith. Faith believes God, faith pleases God, and faith recognizes and understands and knows God's power. In verse 1, we see that faith believes God. When we approach God, we are asked to do two things of God. We are asked to believe that He exists, and we are asked to believe that whatever He says is true, that God speaks the truth. The first is easy for us to do, because we know that people, we know and believe that people that we've never seen exist before us, especially in our own family. Most of us here have probably never seen our great-great-grandparents, but we know they existed. We may have seen pictures or paintings of famous people throughout history, but we know that they exist without having visibly seen with our eyes. What's a little more difficult for us to accept or believe about God is that everything that He speaks is true. Because all of us, at one time or another, have been disappointed and hurt by another person's unkept words, unkept promises to ourselves. And we ourselves are guilty of the same. We have let people down, disappointed and hurt our friends and family and people that we love with unkept promises. Yet the very first thing that we see about a reliance, about faith, is the author tells us that it believes God. Trust is a person's response to what God has promised. And we live under this promise. The Greek word that we translate assurance, it comes from a Greek word, hypostasis. And this refers to two things. It either can refer to a construction of a building, such as the foundation of a building, that you stand in assurance that that foundation is holding up the building. And it also means having a confidence or living under the structure of the building. So you're standing safely on the foundation of the building, knowing that the building's not going to collapse on you, and you live under the building. And it can also, and I think this is where the meaning, this is what I believe the author's intent here was a second meaning, and it means to live under the requirements, rights, responsibilities, restrictions of an agreement. So it's abiding by a contract. And we know that we live under a contract. We live under the new agreement, the new covenant or testament of the Lord Christ Jesus. And we know that Jesus Himself negotiated this new agreement with God, and that He inaugurated this agreement with God by His death, burial, and resurrection, ascension into heaven, and that He now is seated at the right hand of God in God's most holy place, and that He too gives us a purity or a merit. He gives us a righteousness by which we can enter into God's presence as well as honored members of God's family. We know that Jesus, that the that the person of Jesus is the foundation of our faith. He is the foundation of the church. He says that. That we stand firm and secure on the person, the nature, and the work of the Son, the Lord, our Lord Christ Jesus. And we live under and in security under the agreement that he has negotiated with God that reconciles us to God, that removes our sin, and makes us part of his family. And we now live in the presence of God. Trust anticipates the future. It doesn't rely on what is visibly seen or happening at the moment. So this faith in which we live, this faith in which we believe, this faith that we have on reliance on God, gives us a hope for the future. Because what we see and understand and rely about God, we do this to interpret what's going on around us. We don't rely only on our circumstances. We rely on what God has said about our circumstances. So with that, we don't really rely on just what we visibly see at the moment. And at the moment, we have seen some, living in troubled times. And of course, anybody that's lived probably more than 30 years has experienced history, which seems to be a cycle of crisis and catastrophes and sufferings. Currently, we're nearly 2 years into a global pandemic and a cultural change, which is unsettling to us. But yet at the same time, we don't judge or react or live in fear or anger to what's going on around us, but yet we live in trust of what we cannot see. And that is God. And as we look further in, we'll see how then faith anticipates the future and how it doesn't rely on what is visible at the moment. Trust evaluates the presence in the light of God's word. Because the believer is convinced of the integrity of the invisible God, looking beyond what is seen to the unseen activity of an unseen God. So no matter what time in history in which we may find ourselves living, in troubled times or in good times, whether we don't have any money in the bank account or we're sitting on a pile of cash, we conduct our relationships with one another and the way that we live with faith. And that faith looks to what is unseen, the unseen one who is God, and what the unseen one has spoken, not on our circumstances, whether they be bad or good. Another thing that we want to realize about faith is that our faith does not awaken God's promise. So God doesn't keep his promise because you have faith. But God's promise awakens our faith. So when we hear the word of God, there's something that happens inside of us. We respond in belief and reliance. Even though we've never seen God and what God has spoken to us, we have not experienced. And the enduring faith that the author is writing about to us today is about the return of Christ. It is enduring patiently, living a life of reliance on God while we live in the troubled times, awaiting the return of Christ. None of us here have seen that promise. Some of us may or may not see that promise. Nonetheless, our faith does not awaken God's promise, but God's promise awakens our faith. It is the inerrant, the unmovable, and the holy word that we can trust that awakens faith in us. It is God's reliability that gives us reason to rely on God. Faith pleases God. Looking to the examples of the fathers or the ancients, whose reliance on God is their testimony, in the following verses in Hebrews chapter 11, in the 37 verses that follow, the author tells us God was pleased with these people who honored and revered his promise. And these people who lived under the old agreement are all Christians, all believers, whether they were in the old covenant or the new covenant, lived without seeing the promise of God. Those who had gone before, those under the old agreement lived without seeing the promise advent of the Son. And we who live under the new agreement, those who have gone before us lived without seeing the promise of the Son's return. And some of us may not see that promise fulfilled by God, but that does not mean that God will not keep his promise. The believer is to look and to emulate those who have gone on before. Only by taking God at his word and not relying on our present circumstances or the predictions made by the ungodly, and there's plenty of those. We've heard those, especially with the climate change we're enduring. Another thing that is a controversial subject, but yet there are naysayers who say that we are killing the planet. While I am sure that our abuse of the planet has left the planet scarred, our disobedience to God as the human race has left creation as well, marred and damaged and corrupted, it does not mean that we will destroy the planet, but the scripture tells us that God will refurbish the planet, that it will be consumed with fire, both this planet and the physical heavens above us, the outer space, will be recreated or remodeled, and it will be restored to what God had originally created it. It will be restored to a place in which Jesus will live forever, not just 1,000 years, but well into eternity with his family here. But we hear these dark prophecies and these predictions of a dystopian future. While some of those ungodly predictions may come true, we will not live under that dystopian planet forever, that future forever. But the believer who relies on God's word will delight and satisfy God. We're all familiar with Jesus' words. He tells a parable about a master who went away, and he gave his employees money, and one man buried it, said because he was afraid of his employer. Another man, he got some return. Another man got a lot of return, but Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your reward. So those of us that have this persevering faith, a faith that pleases God, we will have our reward. Those that don't, they will also have a reward. The scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So we see that that we need faith to please God. And we please God by relying on him, believing what he says, not on what we see or what others may see about our current circumstances, especially while we wait for the return of our Lord Christ Jesus. It's not to be anxious, fidgety, waiting, thinking, this is the worst time in history, things can't get any worse, Jesus needs to come back. That's not the kind of faith that the author has seen in his audience. And neither is a faith that we need to have. We need to have a confidence and reliance that God is working behind the scenes. So him who is unseen is working in the area of the unseen for our benefit. We really have to avoid the temptation to look at ourselves as just miserable sinners, incapable of pleasing God. This was who we were before. Now, having all of our misdeeds and our moral failures taken away by the sacrifice of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has gone on ahead of us into the most holy room where God lives, he has given us a purity by which we too have entered into God's most holy place as honored members of God's family, living an honorable life, pleasing life to God, as evident by our godly actions and our good deeds, as serving our neighbors, patiently waiting for the return of our Redeemer. Relying on the Son's completed work of redemption, we are pleasing to God. So restrain the thought and the temptation, and resist the temptation to think that you do not live a life pleasing to God. A life pleasing to God is a life lived on reliance on the promises of God and serving others while we patiently wait for the return of our Redeemer, Christ Jesus. In verse 3, the author tells us that faith recognizes God's power. It is by reliance on God's word that we know that the universe, this would include time and space as well as the physical matter, was spoken by God, spoken into existence by God. No doubt the author here has in mind Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." God spoke, he said, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So we see then that we understand, the author tells us that we understand that God, that what is seen was created by him who is not seen out of what was not seen. So God created physical matter out of nothing. And we understand that. How do we understand that? Was any of us here? Is there? Can you Google or can you YouTube a video and see God creating the world? There's no photographs or video footage. There's no one who was there when it happened. So we do that simply by relying and acknowledging that God, who is not seen, has created what we do see. In Hebrews 1:3, the author here is, I believe also the author is speaking about what, referring back to his introduction when he says, he is, speaking of the Son, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. This statement that the author makes about the Son, he upholds the universe by the word of his power, has more meaning to it just than the fact that Jesus holds all together and supports the physical universe. We have to remember that we live in a post-scientific world where we judge things, the physical by empirical evidence, by what we see and what we touch and what we handle. What we taste, what we can smell. This is how we think of the physical world in scientific terms. The author here was writing to a pre-scientific world. They thought differently than we do. And the author, when he makes the statement, upholds the universe by the word of his power, he's referring to more than just the fact that Jesus holds the physical universe together. But he's also speaking of the fact that Jesus is guiding this present world through ages, space, and time to his desired end. The word universe in the Greek is ion, And it refers more to just the physical, but it also refers to the metaphysical, or what is unseen, space and time. So at this very moment, the sun is guiding the world in this present age and the ages to come to a place of his predetermined desire. There's an outcome in which Jesus himself is guiding this world. So everything that is going on now happens by God's design and purpose for our benefit. Now, of course, living in a time of global pandemic and cultural upheaval, one may say, I don't see how this is for our benefit. It's much the same way when we were children, our parents wouldn't let us eat or drink anything we wanted to, or stay up as late as we wanted to, or watch whatever we wanted to on TV, or go to R-rated movies, or run around with friends in high school that drank and did drugs. And we thought our parents were abusive and inhumane to us. It was only later that we found out they were restricting our behavior for their benefit, for our benefit. And it is for our benefit that God himself is, that Jesus himself is guiding the world to his desired and planned conclusion. So I think that faith sees this. They see what is unseen. Faith sees what is unseen and relies on who is unseen. And that this present age in which we live and these sufferings in which we are patiently enduring while we await the return of Christ, we can see from the scripture the result of that promised return, and we're asked to accept that as truth, right? Because none of us have seen the return of Christ. None of us has seen the New Jerusalem. We've read about it, but none of us has seen that. None of us has seen the coming judgment on the unbeliever and the rewards that await the believer. And it is through these future events that God says will happen that we interpret and in the world around us and endure troubled times as and good times as well as we patiently wait for the return of our Lord Christ Jesus. The knowledge of God's written revelation, the Bible, nurtures an unshakable reliance on what God has already promised. So faith is not based merely on my ability or our ability to intellectually believe hard that God is or that God will do certain things for us. But our faith rests and stands on what God has already said. Titus 1:2, the Bible tells us, in hope of eternal life, which God never lies, promised before the ages began. So we see that even before God spoke his promise, that he had a promise to his people for life eternal. Faith recognizes not only that God's power brought into existence the visible universe from the invisible, God's spoken word, God's power is God's power is currently guiding the world to his desired end for our benefit, and he will be able to preserve his people through tough times of global pandemic and cultural political change until the ages have come to maturity, being the right time for the return of our Lord Christ Jesus. It is on knowing and recognizing the power of God and relying on his promise, yet unseen, that will enable us to endure and to patiently, without anxiety and fidgeting, the long-awaited return of our Christ, of our Redeemer, Christ Jesus, who will adjudicate all wrongs and remake the earth a place suitable for his inhabitants with his people. we should remember, I urge all of us here to remember that faith believes the promise of God's Son. Faith in God, in God's promised Son, pleases God. So our faith believes God, our faith in Jesus pleases God, and our faith recognizes the power of God's Son to take care of us, to preserve us, and to, as we wait for his return. And I would encourage and urge us, not just as individuals, to consider and to pattern our life of reliance on God according to the scriptures here, according to the triad nature of faith, but that we as a community, because we have to remember that Hebrews was not written to an individual, but it was written to a congregation like us, who is suffering through troubled times. So as we gather together for worship, formally or informally throughout the week, or in our social events that we have here at church, I think what I want to do is I want to urge you and consider carefully when you gather with each other, how can you encourage other people to take action with faith that believes God, with faith that pleases God, and with a reliance that knows and understands God's power. I think we can do this if we carefully control our words and our thoughts and make sure that when we speak about our present circumstances, whether they be good or bad, we speak of them in the context of what God has promised, not on what our eyes see, not with what we visibly see with our eyes. I think in many ways, one of the ways in which we can do that is we can avoid talk of conspiracy, and that always seems to abound. I can remember growing up, JFK conspiracy. Who shot JFK? Everybody had their own conspiracy. Later on, it was the conspiracy about FDR knew the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor. There's evidence that supports maybe he did. We don't know. Now we have conspiracies surrounding the government's actions around the shutdown and COVID, around the origins of COVID, around the future of our planet. So when we gather, whether we're living here through bad times or good times, we need to be able to urge one another to wait patiently for the return of Christ. And we do that by speaking what God has promised us, by adding the spice of God's word to our conversation. And in doing that, when we come together, we can worship in faith. We live a life that is pleasing to God by encouraging and enriching the life of our neighbor, because we know that everything that God says and does, everything that God says is true, everything that God does is for the benefit of his redeemed family. At this time, Bob will come and close us with a hymn. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Keith, for teaching us from the Word of God so faithfully this morning. And as we leave, let's leave with a song of praise on our hearts. Let's sing together a couple of verses of a song titled, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. Oh, Have each and every one of you with us this morning here in the auditorium and those watching online. Tonight at 6, Brother Daniel Lau will be teaching us from the Word of God, and we're looking forward to a good time hearing what God has laid upon Daniel's heart. Thank you again, and God bless you.